Warning, the Stone Age Gamer includes a lot of bad language. Cover your mother ears.
Good evening and welcome to episode 178 of the Stone Age Gamer Podcast for the week of December 1st, 2017. I am Chris Randazzo and joining me as always is L-shaped pill Dan Ryan.
I'm such a pill, I'll tell you.
Oh, we're still doing this. We're still doing this.
You know what I love about your intros, Chris?
What's that?
And I'm totally interrupting your intro right now, but what I love about them is how enthusiastic you sound.
Like, I'm enthusiastic.
I know if I were a listener, I'd be like, oh, they're doing it again. Sweet. Like, you gotta fucking bullshit a little bit here. Put on radio voice.
Dan, 80% of what I say is bullshit.
No, I know that, but radio voice... It doesn't matter what you're saying. How you sound is the most important thing. I have a communications degree.
I don't.
Oh, well.
Dan and I, with any luck, will be concluding our journey through every single Mario game this week with part 5 of our 4-part Mario retrospective. But before we go any further, here's your... Anyway... Before we go any further, here's your weekly reminder that you can email us at mail@geekade.com. Just include the word Stone Age Gamer in the subject line, and you can let us know what you think of our show, what topics you would like us to discuss in the future, or just say hello, because we always want to hear from you, the listener. How you doing, Dan?
I saw the Avengers Infinity War trailer today, Chris, and I wept a little.
I did many things, include watching it 8 times.
Yeah, I still can't really believe that we're here.
Yeah, it seemed so far off. I mean, they've been teasing this for so long.
Well, for so long, but even the fact that it's happening, that somewhere along the way, nobody's fucked it up.
Yeah, there haven't been any genuinely bad movies in this situation.
I mean,
there's some weirdness with the TV shows not really tying in, which is kind of obnoxious, because, like, S.H.I.E.L.D. started off really tying in, and now it's kind of drifted.
Yeah, and Iron Man 2 isn't great. And Thor 2, people hate on. I don't understand that one.
I don't understand it either.
I kind of understand the Iron Man 2 one. Just because fucking What's-His-Dick is so weird in that movie.
Yeah. If I had to pick a weak link of the bunch, it'd be Age of Ultron.
Yeah, like that. I mean, and that one's still great.
Yeah, it's still great. It's just got some, a lot of disjointed stuff in it, like the weird dream sequence with Thor and him leaving, and it's definitely got some weird disjointedness to it. But I love that movie. It's great. Genuinely bummed about Quicksilver. Still really sad about that.
Didn't see that coming, did you? Well,
I didn't.
I mean, Joss Whedon, so yeah, kind of did.
Yeah, but that's the thing. I didn't see it coming because Joss Whedon was setting up Hawkeye the whole time. And you're like, don't you wash Hawkeye. Don't you dare.
Don't kill Jeremy.
Just like,
Brennan.
All right, this is it. I'm going to do it. And then he didn't. And I was like, Joss Whedon, I hate you.
I hate you so much. Apparently, Joss Whedon also really hates the Justice League movie, which I still haven't seen and am probably not going to. There is this thing going around. I don't know if you saw this online here on episode 3 of the Bags and Boards podcast. I don't know if you saw this online, but apparently in the
opening credits cut.
Yeah, the opening credits bit where there's a guy holding a sign that says, I'm sorry, and then Joss Whedon's name comes up next to that sign.
I'm sorry I tried, something like that.
Yeah, something like that. Like, I really hope that's intentional and not just karmic funniness.
Yeah, I hope that's not just a coincidence.
Yeah, I went with karmic funniness when the word I was looking for was coincidence. That's not a word I use often, apparently enough. God damn it.
Yeah, I saw a lot of people saying today that this Avengers trailer was better than all of the Justice League movie.
I'm sure it was.
It was incredible.
Spoilers, but I've seen Superman's face in that movie.
Mustache.
They sort of gave him a hair lip, but on the outside and like under his nose, like a hair nose. I don't know what you would call that. Like his frenulum is all fucked up. I think that's what that part is called, the little bumpy part under your nose.
I'd still really like to see it because I really want to see the mustache thing. But
I'll see it eventually, but like that trailer was fucking incredible.
Even the effects on like of Thanos just look really, really cool. Like he looks great.
When he's fucking holding Spidey down and like punching Iron Man in the face, and the fucking when he put the gems on the gauntlet, dude, and like kind of smirked, I was like,
and he's talking about how you don't often find joy, like it, or is it fun? Isn't something you think about when you're planning this? But oh my god,
when you're balancing the universe or something like that, like
Karen and I, just absolutely lost our shit on it this morning, and we are resolved to finally watch Spider-Man because we still haven't caught it yet. We caught Thor in the theaters and we still haven't gotten around to watching Spider-Man yet. Now Thor, we're like, okay, have to watch it.
What did you think of Thor?
I loved it.
It was great, right?
I loved it.
I like fucking oh no, Meek's dead. I just carried around him a bit. Just didn't seem a good time to put him down or whatever the fuck he said. So funny.
Yeah, I thought the whole time that was Murray from Flight of the Conchords, and it wasn't.
No, it's the other one. It's the director.
It's the director.
Takiyo Watiti, or I think that's how you say it.
I thought it was Murray.
Fucking awesome. You should see Spider-Man. It was good.
I'm really stoked to see it. I mean, I love Spider-Man, so.
It was really good. And Michael Keaton, fucking fantastic.
Well, he's Michael Keaton.
Yeah, he is.
Anyway.
So, Mario games.
Yeah, I mean, just, real quick, catch up on what I've been doing. I've been playing a little more Doom. I figured out how to get past that. Did I talk about the crazy glitch with the menu?
Or you figured out how to get past it?
Well, they patched the audio thing, which is what caused the weird menu control thing.
Right.
All you have to do is reboot your system and then you're good. Mm. So, yay, I can get back to playing Doom, which I went through the whole second level, but at least half of level 2 without being able to do that. And I got to another gun upgrade station. I was like, I really want to upgrade my guns. Because this is a game starting to get hard. But and I know I'm only on level 2. Like, don't get me wrong. I know I'm only on level 2, but there was a lot of guys in that stage that I needed to kill, and I killed every one of them, and I did not die, but I was sweating, so I want to upgrade my guns. And I finally got the chainsaw, which is freaking cool.
Nice.
I played a little more Odyssey just today, as a matter of fact, and I am now in Bowser's Castle Land, and it's really awesome. It's done up like a Japanese castle.
Nice.
So it's like, the tile roofs and all that stuff that you can get on, and I can possess these weird like needle poke bird things, and you can like keep stabbing the wall and then use your needle nose as like a vaulting pole and you just go boing and fly way up in the air. The game's freaking brilliant. And another one of my highlights this week is a listener to our show, Anthony Mann. We're friends on Twitter, and he and I have been having a relatively in-depth conversation about Tron Legacy, and it's been an absolute blast. I love talking Tron.
They just, Lego just announced that the light cycle is the next official build, like they did with the TARDIS and...
Oh, that's awesome.
The Big Bang Theory thing, yeah. So that should be really fucking cool, because Tron is awesome.
Tron is awesome. See, now Anthony argues that Tron Legacy does not hold up, whereas the original Tron does. And I argue that both of those movies I feel hold up exactly the same, which is to say I love them, but I can understand why the majority of people don't.
Yeah.
But I really like the second Tron movie. I think it holds up just as well as the first one.
I like it quite a bit.
It was one of my visuals, love the story.
One of my favorite things that happened living in Florida was we went to the Magic Kingdom one night. And I didn't know that it was going to happen, but they had done the tram cars. A couple of them were done up like light cycles.
Oh, that's awesome.
Fucking cool. There were these giant-ass light cycles. It was awesome.
I really want to rewatch that movie, but after the Infinity War trailer came up, I decided to do another MCU rewatch. So I'm on Incredible Hulk now.
think I'm going to be getting to that relatively soon.
Because hot diggity dog. All right, so Mario games, huh?
Yes.
All right. This is the plan. We're going to finish this week.
That's right.
We are doing games from 2013 to current. So, Dan, are you ready with the music?
No.
Okay.
Because I have a question for you real quick before we get started.
All right, go
and
for
I think
it.
It's a good question for this show in particular.
Okay,
I like it. What would you say is the probability that Mario Odyssey is a good purchase for little kids? Probability is not a great word for it. What's the, is it a good purchase for little kids?
Yes.
Okay.
Define little kids.
My kid.
Oh, definitely.
Okay. Like, it's not too obtuse or anything to be able to...
No, actually, it's...
And play a decent amount.
From what I've come to understand, your kids are fairly good at these things, but regardless, there is a help mode in it
that's okay.
Really, really smart. It's the smartest one they've done yet. It basically like it does things like you can't drown, like you don't have to go up for air when you're underwater. Mm-hmm. You get more health, and I think your health regenerates. And it lays out arrows on the ground that show you where to go.
That's
so
cool.
It's not intrusive. It's just helpful.
It's just easier.
Yeah, just easier.
All right, then.
So definitely, big, fat, hairy thumbs up on that.
Sweet, because that's probably the two games that they'll end up with. We already have Splatoon 2, so they'll probably get Mario Odyssey as well. Although, Katie did ask for ARMS.
ARMS is fun, man.
Yeah.
Especially because they have it to play with one another.
Can they do that with just the two Joy-Cons?
I don't know. I think
so.
I'm trying to think of another set. I think if you're playing in standard controller mode, there should be enough buttons on the Joy-Con to do everything.
Okay. I don't know. I guess we'll find out.
Indeed.
All right. Music. 2013. Mm-hmm. Billboard's top 100 year-end chart. Number 3, Radioactive from Imagine Dragons. Number 2, the best song about rape that there's ever been, I suppose, Blurred Lines from Robin Thicke. Because that's totally what that song is about.
Mm-hmm.
And number 1, Thrift Shop from Macklemore and Lewis. Because, ugh. I mean, this is 2013 is the year that Just Give Me a Reason, that Pink and Nate Ruth song. This song's fucking incredible. Like, not even like trying to be funny. That's a great fucking song. Like, that's. Anyway,
the first release in 2013, Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon. I never finished this game.
Is it good?
I didn't actually play this one. I think I mentioned it when we talked about the original Luigi's Mansion.
Yeah.
I got this game for free, and I still haven't played it. So I don't know where Mario is in the game, but it showed up on the list of Mario appearances, whereas other games did not. So, like, New Super Luigi U did not. So I'm assuming Mario is in this game somewhere. I don't know.
All right, then.
But I know it's made by Next Level Games.
And they do good work.
They do great work. Those are the folks behind the sublime Punch-Out for Wii, as well as, I think they did the Mario Strikers games, right? Yep, they did the Mario Strikers. Oh, they did NHL Hits Pro?
There you go.
Wow. That is awesome. So, yeah, I like these guys, and they need to make the next pro wrestling game. Like, that just needs to happen. Also in 2013, we got Mario Kart Arcade GP DX, which is, just another expansion to the Mario Kart arcade scene. We've talked about those already. You still haven't seen any of these, right? You haven't actually gone out and hunted one down in the last few weeks?
No, surprisingly enough, with all the arcades that surround me here in South Jersey.
You just still haven't found one, huh?
Still haven't found one. I mean, I've been checking literally daily.
This is something that we'll probably notice about a handful of games on here, is that there's going to be several repeats where we're just like, okay, this is a thing. We just don't have a lot to say about Arcade GP DX because there's not a lot to say about it. Mario and Luigi Dream Team, however, now that is cool. This is the one. This is the one that takes place inside of like Luigi's dreams,
which is awesome.
And it's just
Luigi's fucking weird, apparently.
It's just as warped as you would want it to be. I was I really need to play this game. Like, I really wish I had time to spend the time that I want to spend with the Mario and Luigi games.
Right.
Because I've enjoyed the little bits that I've played of all of them. I just didn't have time for RPGs in my life, really. And this one and Bowser's Inside Story in particular, like, Partners in Time was like, all right, that's a cute idea. But then they just started like, okay, now we're in Bowser and now we're in Luigi's dreams. I love this series. I love everything about this. This is so ridiculous. Like, there was one thing where you could be like a 2-screen tall giant Luigi or something, like you were fighting giant robots or something, and there's like a ball of like hundreds of Luigis that looked like that Legion thing from Castlevania Symphony of the Night, except made of Luigis.
Mm-hmm.
Man, weird stuff.
That's awesome.
Great art direction, great writing. From what I've come to understand, pretty great music as well. Just more good stuff from the Mario and Luigi franchise. Yay. Now we have Mario and Donkey Kong Minis on the Move. I don't even remember which one this is. Which one? Oh, this is... Okay. I have this one. I bought the crap out of this one. This is a really, really cool game. This is a little bit different from the other Mario and Donkey Kong games. Have you played this one?
No.
All right. So this one is like... how do I describe this one? So you have these tiles, right? And you have to make the minis walk safely across all these tiles. Like a 3D. It's almost like a 3D version of Lemmings, you know, similar to like these, you know, the other games have a lot in common with Lemmings games. So you get these minis and they're automatically moving and you have to like flip around these tiles and stuff. And it looked like a really cool concept. And it is. But the reason I bought this is that I saw a video of it and it has the Super Mario Brothers 2 music in the game.
Nice.
Like just a new version of the Super Mario Brothers 2 theme, just kind of in there for funsies. And it sounded great. I was like, I'm buying this game tonight. And I did. I went home and I bought it. I played it for like 3 hours. I never got around to finishing it, but this is a really cool game. I don't think there's been any other ones like this. I think all the other mini games have been the 2D kind of stuff. And this was a really unique concept. And I'm kind of sad that they haven't gone back to this yet.
Well, all right then.
Yeah, this was... Oh, man, yeah, this was 3DS, too. That's right, because I didn't have a DSi, so how else would I get the downloadable stuff? Yeah. Yeah, this was a very, very cool game. Mario and Donkey Kong Minis on the Move. If you have a 3DS, go try this game. It is very unique. It is a great puzzler. I really dig this one. And then we get to... Super Mario 3D World for the Wii U.
This is the one with the cat suit.
This is the one with the cats, yes.
Okay.
Have you actually played this, or were you just turned off by the cat suit and ran away screaming?
Yes. Turned off by the cat suit, ran away screaming. No, this one I have not played, again, because my stance on Mario games is relatively clear. However, I have seen this one. My niece was playing it for a while, and she seemed to be having a fucking blast with it.
This game's great. This game is really great. This was a very unexpected thing. Similar to the way that I was surprised by how good Galaxy 2 was. This one, I was like, 3D World? Okay, so this is basically like console version of 3D Land. But 3D Land was pretty darn great, so
right.
I'll give this the benefit of the doubt. And I'm glad I did, because the game is brilliant. It's really, really brilliant. It's got so many really cool ideas in it. The cat suit in particular, I was very, very fond of, because while it does look a tad on the creepy side, especially on Toad, his head's just gigantic, as a power-up, the cat suit's really interesting. Like, the kinds of things that it allows you to do, like climbing up some walls, but only long enough until you dig your claws in and then slide down like a cartoon. And you get the little kind of jump move and some better dexterity and whatnot. It's a really neat power-up in this game. And the final boss battle against Bowser is amazing because Bowser gets a cat suit. And he turns into a giant cat Bowser and, like, just wrecks your shit. He's, like, he is humongous and he's, like, breaking buildings and... It was amazing. It is like, just watch a YouTube video of this last fight with Bowser, because he's like almost adorable, but freaking terrifying. Oh, also, this is the game where Bowser has his pimp mobile.
Sure, sure.
Bowser's cruising around in this bright purple Cadillac, which is freaking fantastic.
That makes sense.
Exactly. It doesn't make sense. And that's what's so wonderful about it. And there's like this really great Mario Kart level where you just run on all the, you're running on all these dash pads and it's playing Mario Kart music and you're basically going around a Mario Kart track, but without a cart, and you're just like running through it. There is so much creativity in this game. It's really brilliant. And I like how they kind of continued this as just a separate entity, because it's not quite your traditional 3D Mario games like Super Mario 64 and Sunshine, but it's not 2D Mario either. It's actually a whole third genre of Mario games that is very distinctly a Mario game, but very distinctly not those other two things either. And it also has much better multiplayer than the 2D Mario games, because the 2D Mario games are like the fastest way to hate the people that are around you. And this one, since it's in 3D, there's room for everybody. You know, there's somewhere for everyone to be, okay. Whereas you couldn't occupy the same space in the 2D ones, and there's not a lot of real estate because it's only two-dimensional.
But still catsuit. I mean, I just, I'm having a hard time.
I understand. I'm sure there is some very interesting stuff on the internet revolving around Peach and or Rosalina in the catsuit.
Not looking.
Me neither.
Not looking. I don't subscribe to any of those subreddits. I am sure they exist. I'm not judging, like, at all.
Yeah, more power to you.
You do you, boo. I mean, whatever makes you happy, just don't hurt anybody. But, like...
not you know. For me.
No. Or maybe it is, and maybe that's what I'm scared of.
So, continuing 2013, also on Wii U, we got Mario and Sonic at the Sochi 2014 Olympic Winter Games.
Mm-hmm.
We sure did.
More Tails ice skating.
More of the same. Then we got, also in 2013, on the Nintendo 3DS, Mario Party Island Tour.
Mm-hmm. My favorite island tour is a Mario Party Island Tour.
Yes, indeed. Now, I forgot to mention that 2013 was the year of Luigi, which is when we got Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon, and we also got Dr. Luigi for Wii U.
Hmm.
Which is neat. I was really stoked about this one because it was basically Dr. Mario in HD. And again, this is continuing the trend of certain aspects of the Dr. Mario games just getting pared down piece by piece. And this one had fewer, this lost a couple of pieces of music, but the menu that had the music in it is the exact same menu from previous games that had all four songs in it. So now there's just two songs and a bunch of blank space because that's how freaking lazy they were. But on the that's same awesome. Token, you also had this new Dr. Luigi mode, which was, again, showing a lot of potential, but didn't really follow through on it 100%. So what it did was it has these L-shaped pills that come on, like, you know how when you get like a bunch of cold medicine and it's on those like foil things?
Yeah.
So it's two Dr. Mario pills on foil things that are shaped like an L. So I thought that was really clever. And you have to basically twist these two pills that are connected to each other to try to make them land and get rid of the viruses. So it's kind of like a more challenging mode of Dr. Mario. But the whole game of regular Dr. Mario is in this as well.
Well, all right then.
The big thing that I was kind of upset about was that the Dr. Luigi mode introduced three new virus colors.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really hoping that they would introduce a mode where you could play Dr. Mario where you had six different virus colors, because that would be a really interesting challenge.
It would be.
But that's not in there. Because they had that one idea with the L-shaped pills, and that was it. They were like, we're not putting any more effort into this than we absolutely have to.
This is it. This is what you get.
It's cute. It's clever. Enjoy the same music you've been listening to for years. We're not going to put any effort into this at all.
Fuck you. This is what's happening.
This is what's happening. And the final game of 2013 that featured Mario was, I believe, my game of the year back in 2013, because we were doing this podcast at this point.
We were.
NES Remix.
Yes.
Love this game.
Mm-hmm.
This is on Wii U. It is... We've talked about it on the show before. If you want to go back to our 2013 episodes, and
you should, because they're all excellent.
They really are. We piss excellence. That's what we do.
I have never heard our podcast described more succinctly than We Piss Excellence. Yes, we do.
Yes, we do. yeah, NES Remix is brilliant. It's they took a bunch of like black box NES games and then put them into these bite-sized chunks, and then they remixed a bunch of them. So obviously you've got Super Mario Brothers and Donkey Kong and whatnot in there. And it's sheer and utter brilliance, and I loved every minute of it.
Yeah, it's like if they took the WarioWare games and they were like, okay, but what if we weren't being assholes? And, like, we made, like, actual shit.
Yeah, because, like, the bunch of it will be like, all right, now you're playing. Like, a lot of them aren't actual remixes. They're just like, this is how you're supposed to play this game. These are the things that you can do in these games. Like, I actually learned to appreciate Clue Clue Land from NES Remix. I actually finally understood what they were going for with that game, and I understood the draw of, like, oh, I get it. When you learn this, this could actually be pretty fun. It's just, it's a game called Clue Clue Land, and there's nothing visually interesting about it.
No.
But it's actually a pretty decent concept when you learn what you're supposed to do in it. Unfortunately, this also, like, really, really hammered home how crappy a game Ice Climber is. Because it's awful.
It's not great, yeah.
It's beyond not great. It's a great idea. I love the characters, but I mean, it is a game about jumping where you can't jump. It is trash. and the original golf, we talked about this on the show for the other Mario retrospective episode. I'll never touch that game again either.
No.
So we're gonna just skip right into it because we'll do your music thing in a second, because the first game that came out in 2014 was NES Remix 2.
Right.
Which was more of the same, and I don't mean that in a bad way at all. That included more stuff awesome. Like, yeah, Kid Icarus, Punch Out, Wario's Woods, like some more NES Remix. Nothing wrong with that. All right. So 2014, talk to me.
All right, I'm going to give you the top 10 this year because I love pop music as much as I try not to love pop music, and this was a good fucking year for pop. Number 10 was Stay With Me from Sam Smith, that song that was everywhere, the ripoff of the Tom Petty song. Number 9 was Problem from Ariana Grande, featuring my favorite rapper, not of all time, but I honestly do love Iggy Azalea, I'm not going to lie. Just her fucking gimmick is fabulous. Number 8 is All About the Bass by Meghan Trainor, which is also a great fucking song. Number 7 was Rude from Magic, which I know is your favorite song, Chris.
Definitely.
Why you gotta be so rude? just why? Number 6 was Talk Dirty from Jason Derulo. Number 5, Counting Stars by One Republic. Number 4, Fancy from Iggy Azalea. That song fucking rules. It's a great video. Fucking awesome. Number 3, All of Me from John Legend. Number 2, Dark Horse by Katy Perry. And number 1, Happy by Pharrell Williams, which in the Japanese video has Shinsuke Nakamura doing a little dance when he was still the, I think he was still the NJPW, or the New Japan Pro Wrestling IWGP Intercontinental Champion, I think at the time. So like he's in this Pharrell Williams video with the fucking big old belt doing his weird Shinsuke Nakamura dance. It's fucking great. That was an excellent year for pop music.
My son took his first steps to All About That Bass.
How can you not love that song then?
I can't not love that song.
It's a great song. I don't even care.
I have a very healthy appreciation for treble, so just saying. I don't have to agree with the song. It's a good song.
Yeah, I mean, it should have been maybe rewritten All About That Bass, About That Bass, a little bit of treble.
Appropriate amounts of treble.
Middling amounts of treble. A modicum of treble.
So let's see, moving on. In 2014, we got Mario Golf World Tour. Did you play this one? Because I did not.
No, I didn't.
It seems to have gotten... it seems to have done decently well. I don't remember this one, like, taking off. I feel like I remember when this one came out, folks were like, well, I mean, it's good. It's Mario Golf, but it's not that sequel to the GBA Mario Golf we've been waiting for.
Right.
So, yeah, that's a thing. And then we have... all right, get it together. We have Yoshi's New Island for Nintendo 3DS.
Oh, that's such a bad title.
That is such a bad title, and it is a bad game.
Is it?
It is not good.
Hmm.
This is, it's, you know what? It, let me see if it's even by the same team. This is RZest, not R-Tune. What does RZest do? Crikey.
They fuck up Yoshi games, apparently. That's what they do.
You know what? This was another handheld, quote-unquote, sequel to Super Mario World 2 Yoshi's Island, one of my favorite games ever. Right. And it was, again, this one went in a different route. This one actually pissed me off more than Yoshi's Island DS, because at least Yoshi's Island DS had some neat ideas in it. This was like... No, we're really just like Yoshi's Island. We're just going to do a lot of the same things, but it's going to look awful with this weird art style, and it's not going to have a soul because we don't have souls.
Because we have...
I mean, look, I don't know the people who made this game, and I don't mean to be specifically mean to them. I'm sure they tried, but... I don't know. I do not understand why Nintendo decided to farm this out to these like lower tier companies. Like, Yoshi's Island is so revered, right, and it was really important to the team who made it. And that was one of the things that made the game so special, is that you can tell how much love and attention went into the game in the first place. So right. To then put the sequels on somebody else's shoulders and just have them not even have a slice of that thing, just be pale imitations of that level of heart and soul, is really upsetting. And every time they do it, it's upsetting. And Yoshi's New Island was, it's not, I think I said it was a bad game. That's the thing. It's not a bad game. But what makes it awful is the fact that it is just extraordinarily mediocre. And that's not cool.
You know, Chris, that I hate to generalize. It's not a thing I like to do. But everyone involved in the making of that game is an asshole.
I'm speechless. You may have broken me. Oh, so, all right, let's talk about some good stuff here. We actually have, boy, there's some good things right in a row here. Some really, really good things. 2014 saw the release of Mario Kart 8 for Wii U.
So good.
Which, it's a goddamn masterpiece.
It's first so off, fucking good.
It's pretty.
It really is.
It is like some voodoo magic. I can't believe this game looks this good. It is stunning. The anti-gravity mechanic doesn't do much, I don't think. Like, I don't feel like it really adds a lot to it, except for the, like, this kind of goes both ways here, because the actual anti-gravity, like the actual going upside down and up walls, just because of the way the camera works in this game, it doesn't really feel crazy. Like, when you're playing F-Zero, right, and you, like, go upside down and through loops, yeah, it feels insane. And in Mario Kart, for some reason, I just never really felt like anything weird was happening. But the anti-grav wheels, the way your tires go on the side, and then it all of a sudden becomes bumper cars, that's very interesting.
Cool. Very cool.
Like, so I completely forgive the fact that the going upside down stuff doesn't really feel like much, because it just, you get to these sections in the race courses where all of a sudden, now you want to run into other people. Which is a really cool change of pace for Mario Kart.
The was this the first one where the bumping gave you a little speed boost?
Yeah.
Or not the bumping, but the... You had to... Like, I can't even fucking explain how you do it, but I'm sure you can. You know what I'm talking about.
The power sliding or the... the running like into other cars when you do the little spin around and you get a speed boost?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. That's the anti-grav. Because you can only really do that in the anti-grav segments.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah this was the first game where that's a thing. And only in those parts, which is genius. Right.
And there wasn't ever any other version of that
No,
in any of the other games, right? There was no thing. Yeah, so it added like another layer of strategy to the game.
It did.
To a game that actually surprisingly has a ridiculous amount of strategy in it.
Yeah. And granted, this was a little, not even a little, but it was decently more unfair with the blue shells, I feel. Mm-hmm. But it also introduced a defense for blue shells, the super horn, a brilliant item. And it also did this weird thing with the items where you could no longer carry an item and then load up your next one, not until the deluxe version where they messed around with that, which I thought was also a very strange choice, but
it's not a
bothersome one. It was just a weird one.
This one has really, really good track design.
It does. It's got
like they the new all tracks have are really finally good track design, yeah. But this is really, really, they're really fun.
And I think that's one of the things we were talking about Mario Kart 7, where we're trying to figure out what it is about Mario Kart 7 that just, and I think it is the track design. Like the new tracks in Mario Kart 7, barring a couple of exceptions, weren't really all that interesting. There are no tracks in Mario Kart 8 that I didn't like. Like usually when a Mario Kart game comes out for the last, you know, even since the Wii one, it's just been like, well, what I really want to see is the remade old tracks. And now it was both were even because like I loved seeing those new tracks, like the airport one and the one where you're running through the mall. There's some really cool stuff there. And oh my God, just the soundtrack in this game is so incredible.
Yeah, it is a really, really excellent, excellent soundtrack. Now,
go ahead.
What about the DLC? Because I never actually got the DLC for this.
Oh, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. The Excitebike track is great. It's it randomly generates every time you play it. So it's like it's always a loop, but it randomly generates like the jumps that are in it, like the game, like it's a create your own level kind of thing.
Which is awesome.
The two F-Zero stages are phenomenal because there's boost pads everywhere. And those stages actually do make you feel like you're going nuts when you're going upside down because they're designed like F-Zero courses. They're great. And the new original courses that are in them, like there's this one that's like a dragon themed course and you're like riding on the back of a dragon. There's a ski slope one where you're like going on these two different paths, like a green path and a pink path. Now the DLC was great and worth the money. And if you wind up getting Mario Kart 8 Deluxe on the Switch, it has all that stuff built right in.
Which I very well might, because that game was super fun, and I don't ever see myself popping the Wii U out again once we have that.
And not only that, it's totally playable with the Joy-Cons. So like when Karen and I go to the movies, we bring that and we just prop up the screen on the armrest between the two of us and we play Mario Kart while we're waiting for the previews to start.
That's the nerdiest thing I've ever heard of.
That's great.
That is a whole other level of shit right there, Chris.
That's what the Switch is good for. So, Mario Kart 8 is phenomenal. I can't say enough good about the soundtrack. Again, I just, all the live instruments are just incredible. All right, we got to keep this train moving. Cause I could gush about these next couple of ones, but I'm going to reel it in.
Okay.
Captain Toad Treasure Tracker.
Shitty. Next.
Incorrect. This game's no. Great.
I really wanted to play this one. I never got around to playing it.
It's awesome because it's such a different thing. These started as bonus levels in Super Mario 3D World and they just made a whole damn game out of it.
Right.
And they're like very puzzle platformery because Captain Toad can only jump like like one block tall. And they even explain it in the game. It's because he's wearing this heavy backpack, so he can't jump on.
Awesome.
Like they didn't need to do that. That's just hilarious that they went ahead and did that. That's wonderful.
Yeah, no, that's pretty great.
No, it's a really, really great game. I want this to be ported to Switch desperately or make another sequel to it because it's really great stuff. It was one of those things that, quote unquote, took advantage of the Wii U gamepad, but really those stages would be just fine with standard controls.
Right.
It always kind of bothered me in 3D World because I'd play that whole game with the classic controller or the pro controller, and then it'd be like, oh, you want to do the Captain Toad things? Go get the gamepad. And be like, fine, I'll go get the gamepad. And then I'd get it and be like, really? I can't just rotate the camera with a freaking analog stick. I have to rotate the.
I've been rotating cameras with analog sticks since the PlayStation 1. Good sir. Fix it.
I was rotating it with freaking C buttons on Super Mario 64, right? For crying out loud.
Come on.
Yo, Captain Toad's great, and it came out at a budget price. It only came out at like $30. It's a great game. Totally recommend it. The next one, I mean, I could gush for days, but it's Super Smash Brothers for 3DS and Wii U.
Bigger piece of shit than Captain Toad. Next.
I love Smash Brothers. I love this game. It's wonderful.
Speaking of Smash Brothers, just a real quick segue. They announced the PS Plus games for December. Mm-hmm. One of them is a Smash Brothers clone, but with the characters from Kung Fu Panda, the film series.
Oh.
Yeah. I'll let you know.
All right. I'll be waiting with bated breath.
That was kind of how I felt. I was like, oh, okay.
Might be one of those with the Ninja Turtles. Remember that one?
Yeah, it wasn't good.
Nah, it didn't look good.
No.
Anyways, last one of 2014, Ultimate NES Remix for 3DS. It's NES Remix, but it's portable now, and it's kind of a mashup of the first two games.
Yay.
Yeah, yay. It's great. Go buy it if you have a 3DS.
Do
it's
it.
Dream. Do it. All right, 2015. Hit us.
Okay. Surprisingly enough, Watch Me Whip and Watch Me Nene was only the number 8 song of 2015.
Oh.
By Silento. Silento. Number 3 was See You Again by Wiz Khalifa. Number 2 was Thinking Out Loud by Ed Sheeran. He of the Game of Thrones brilliant performance. And number 1 was Uptown Funk, Go Give It To You. Mark Ronson and Bruno Mars.
Uh-huh.
That's a pretty good song. Not for nothing.
Yeah, it's a good song.
I've Bruno Mars is
a lot of times
is super talented.
Karen listens to most of this stuff, and she likes to blast it in the car, particularly Dance Off. Is that going to be on any of our lists?
I don't know. Maybe. I'm not looking ahead. I want to react organically with you because I value this show.
You value its integrity.
I value the integrity of the show.
All right, so 2015 started off with a bang. Mario Party 10 for Wii U. Ooh,
fuck yeah.
Yay.
Wii U. Now we're play mini games with that stupid fucking pad.
Yay. Ugh.
Yuck.
Then we got Mario. I don't understand this one. Mario versus Donkey Kong Tipping Stars. So this was, if I remember correctly, this is the one that came out on 3DS and Wii U. And it was all about making your own levels, and then people would leave you tips above stars when they played your levels online.
Mm-hmm,
so it was like proto Super Mario Maker, but I don't know. I messed around with it for like 30 seconds because I think there was a free version.
That still somehow costs too much money?
Yeah, no, I just didn't. I feel like I should have cared, but I couldn't make myself do it. So,
well,
I may have missed out on some good stuff there, but it's, you know, that last Mario Donkey Kong game we talked about was awesome, and I don't know. I got nothing. Right. These were dark times, man.
Yeah.
These were like, you know, the throes of the Wii U. Like, we're really starting to, like, they were really getting their act together. They had Smash Brothers and Mario Kart and Captain Toad and 3D World, and it was like, yeah, but you really don't have anything else. That's the problem here.
Yeah, like, those are the only games. That's it.
All right, so Dan, I need you to talk to me about this next one here.
Okay.
Puzzle and Dragons Z plus Super Mario Brothers Edition for Nintendo 3DS.
It's a shittier version of Puzzle and Dragons. It's I mean, it really is, though. Like, there's been, I don't even know if it's still being supported or updated at all, but like it had the basic Puzzle and Dragons mechanics, but with Mario skins slapped over a lot of the shit. And like, The thing that I really like about Puzzle and Dragons is that it is a combination of like strategy game and puzzle game.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you have to build up your team, and depending on the cards that you pull and active skills and awakenings and all the different stuff that goes into, like, the team composition aspect of it, like a strategy game, almost like an RTS would to a certain extent. And then on top of that, there's a good puzzle mechanic. So they just kind of took that and put in shittier versions of the main series characters and Mario characters. And I mean, it sold pretty well.
Yeah, I seem to remember that when this came out, the thing that everyone said was like, all right, so the draw here is the Puzzle and Dragons Mario edition, but the Puzzle and Dragons Z is an infinitely superior game.
Yeah. Yeah. And some of the Puzzle and Dragons Z characters have made it over to Puzzle and Dragons proper, and they're pretty fucking terrible. They're kind of the ones that show up when you roll the egg machine and they pop out and they have like puzzle pieces on them and you're like, ah, fuck. Like, it was a gold, but it's not really a gold egg. You know, it's like, fine. I'll just sell it. You know, like, I don't know. It's Puzzle and Dragons. I mean, it's a good time that's in there. I mean, if you're looking for a puzzle game to play, it is one of the best that I've ever played. You know, and this one has Mario characters in it. You know, it
looks nice.
Yeah, I mean, like, it looks nice. Plays well.
It's put together well. Still wasn't enough to get me to try Puzzle and Dragons.
I mean, yeah. I mean, like, it's somewhat low effort. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of different Mario things that you can do. Like, you get basic Mario and then power him up to, like,
basic bitch Mario.
Basic bitch Mario. You know, like, I don't know.
Oh, you know what I forgot to mention?
What's that?
Back in, we were talking about Mario 3D World. I forgot to mention the wonderfulness that is the double cherry.
Mm-hmm.
There's just this wonderful power up in that game where you just keep getting more Marios and you just control them all at the same time. It's complete pandemonium.
That's nice.
It's like, it's not easy to do, but there's all these tricks and stuff that, like, there'll be puzzles that you have to get to the other end by keeping as many of the Marios alive as you can. It's just delightful.
That's kind of cool.
Anyways. So, all right. Look at that. You got to legitimately talk about Puzzle and Dragons on this episode. How do you feel?
Pretty good.
Good.
I mean, I just, you know, there's new, they announced some new GodFest exclusives in Japan again today. So, there's like more GodFest exclusives than there are Pantheons at this point, which is fucking annoying, but okay. We're going to keep playing.
So, speaking of things we just keep doing, Dr. Mario Miracle Cure, and I bought it, and it was okay.
Because that's why they keep doing it, because you fuckers keep buying it.
This one seemed like a really neat idea, and it's fairly well featured. Not as well featured as Dr. Mario 64, obviously, because nothing ever will be again for some reason. But no, it had this new miracle cure thing where they added like items and stuff to it. It was neat, and there's a cool puzzle mode in it. But it's, you know, more portable Dr. Mario. Hard to say no to having a version of Dr. Mario on my 3DS at all times. Then in 2015, we also got Super Mario Maker. I love this game.
I do too.
I feel like I talked about this a lot, didn't
we?
I?
Have talked. We don't have. Yeah. We don't have to spend a lot of time.
Yeah, we really
don't.
You and
I both love this game. There's a lot of really, really good stuff.
It's infinite Mario forever. Like, if I wanted to turn on right now, I would play Mario levels I've never played before. Most of them would be garbage. Some of them would be brilliant. And single best use of Amiibo yet.
Yeah, and there's a lot of in between where it's like, this is fun.
Yeah.
Like, even the really terrible levels are usually still pretty fun.
And I still just love how it's all like kind of themed around Mario Paint, like the undo dog and the erasing rocket and
cool
this
music.
Game is so good.
It's great.
Yeah.
It's
cool
great.
Music. Yeah. We just did a wave back a month or so ago on the Mario Maker stuff. I did mashups of the music. So this brilliant thing it does when you're making levels, it changes the music to like this cool counter melody. and it lines up perfectly with the original versions of the song. So what I did was I really wanted to hear what it sounded like if you just played the original song on top of it, and it makes these just amazing sounding mashups. It's awesome.
That's cool.
Check out that Waveback episode. It's worth your while. On the opposite side of the spectrum, though, we have Mario Tennis Ultra Smash, which I remember getting just really torn up in the reviews because it was just sad. Like, it was very... They did not have much in the way of features. IGN gave it a 4.8 out of 10.
Ouch. Which is... I mean, that's big. That's like a big negative for a Mario sports game.
It is, and especially because they were, you know, they were pushing this game as like this was that game that month. Like, this was their November release, right? I mean, when did Mario Maker drop? That was
September.
That was September. October. So this was like their next big release on Wii U was this Mario Tennis Ultra Smash.
This was the holiday release.
And wow, obscenely underwhelming.
Yeah, this was the, we were now, after Mario Maker, which in and of itself is kind of low effort, we were in the low effort era of Wii U shit.
I would definitely disagree with the Mario Maker being low effort.
Well, not in production value, but it didn't take a lot of thought. You know, it's like, we're just going to let you make this shit.
Yeah, but they didn't just let you make shit, because that's Little Big Planet. They made making shit fun, and it was a lot of it had to do with the damn controller. Like, this is the one game, well, not the one game, like the Chase the Idiot and Super Nintendo Land is also really
good.
Catch the Asshole, that's it.
My favorite.
This is the best use of the gamepad, and like I never really liked creating levels, except I enjoyed doing it in this game. They did those little touches that really made it fun, and it's so complete. I granted it is, making your own 2D levels, but I feel like they put a ton, and they supported it for so long too, with the updates and the way you unlock things.
Yeah,
I think they really did put a lot of effort into this, as much effort as can be made into it.
I guess I mean more that it's not Super Mario Galaxy
3. Yeah, exactly.
The effort compared, you know what I mean? Did we skip over Nintendo Land? We must have.
We did. You know why? Because Mario doesn't appear in that game.
Not at all?
It's all your Miis dressed up as Mario, or
I know, but I thought
a picture of him or something like that. There are no games where you actually play as Mario. That's why it didn't show up on the list.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Anyway.
Nintendo Land's great. Just mentioning it. It's
Nintendo Land is great. I had a lot of fun with that.
Yeah. I don't know why that game didn't catch on.
Because nobody had a Wii U.
Yeah. That's weird. That should have been packed in with every Wii U. Like, I still stand by that to this day. They shouldn't have been selling that thing.
It was packed in with mine.
It was packed in with mine, too, but that's because we got the black ones. They also had the white systems.
Oh, yeah.
It didn't come with those, and it should have been, that should have been the Wii Sports of that system. And
really should have been. There's a lot of fun to be had with that. There's some clunkers in there, but there's a lot of fun to be had. Yeah. Anyway.
All right. So
the robot is fucking
break,
stupid, though. I'm not going to lie. That robot's fucking annoying.
The robot. Oh, yeah. Monita. Yeah.
Yeah.
Boo.
He's fucking terrible.
Boo. Thumbs down for Monita.
Not a good character.
No. Last game before we take the break, Mario and Luigi Paper Jam. This was, I didn't play it, but from what I've heard, it is a somewhat disappointing crossover between Mario Luigi and Paper Mario.
Mm-hmm.
Did you mess with this one at all?
No.
Yeah, I didn't either. I love the idea of having Paper Mario, like, because you always kind of think of, like, Paper Mario as just this thing that they do. It's like a graphic style thing. Not that Paper Mario is actually a character that would interact with regular Mario.
It's a cool idea.
It is a really cool idea. And I love the name of it, Paper Jam. Come on, that's great.
No, that's cute.
That's
and it
clever.
Looks cool. Like, the juxtaposition of the 3D and 2D characters on the same screen look cool.
It's so absurd, and I love that about it. But I heard from most of the people that I've spoken to who have played it, or the reviews that I've read, that it is just okay. And that's sad to me.
What is set?
All right, we're going to take ourselves a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to finish this thing off, come heck or high water. You are listening to the Stone Age Gamer podcast from Geekade.com, so stick around. And now, here's a look at some of the other original content available right now at Geekade.com.
First up, the holidays are a great time to get together with your pals and head to the movie theater. The new Justice League movie is out, but is it worth your movie-going dollars? Geekade, that's us, offers a double dose of critical opinions on the DCEU's latest offering to help you decide. In Nonstop Comic Shop Episode 10, Beleaguered, Jordan and Brendan put the new movie up against a comparable episode of the old Justice League animated series to see which fared better. I bet you I can guess which one.
Me too.
Alex weighs in an all-news We Are Reviews Justice League, a.k.a. at least it's better than Batman vs. Superman.
That's Zwaya Reviews.
Then again, Zwaya's. Damn it, I fuck that up every time. Zwaya Reviews Justice League, a.k.a. at least it's better than Batman vs. Superman. But, to be fair, so was Must Love Dogs.
I'm trying to think of a movie that hurt me more than Batman. Nah, X-Men 3 is still worse.
That hurt you more than Batman vs. Superman? Like a movie that you were more disappointed
in. Yeah, X-Men 3. Spider-Man 3, maybe. But X-Men 3 hurt more.
No, because Spider-Man 3 is a Sam Raimi movie. As much shit as it gets, it's not a terrible movie, and fucking Thomas Hayden Church is brilliant in that movie.
I will disagree. Having recently rewatched, I do think that it is a terrible movie, but it does have some moments of awesomeness in it.
Evil Dead is a fucking terrible movie. I mean, I still love it.
Yeah, but this isn't the same kind of terrible movie. This is like... God, the dancing and him eating the cake. How's your pie? So good.
Ugh. Yeah, I don't know. I'll have to go back and rewatch it.
X-Men 3, though.
X-Men 3 is bad.
X-Men 3 is brutal.
No, Superman Returns.
I didn't hate that movie.
Oh, my God.
I also don't have a lot of love for the Christopher Reeve ones. So
there was
no real letdown for me there.
Those movies, to me, like... I adore those movies on such a level, especially the first two. And this being a sequel to those first two, and I was with it. I was so with it.
I remember having this conversation with you up until the kid. Yeah,
up until the kid, and it just broke my heart. It was.
Yeah, that was bad. But then you think about all the other good stuff that was in that, like. You know,
like
him
Brandon Routh.
Hey, Brandon Routh was so great.
He's so good as fucking Superman. And
like
Clark
him catching the plane. God, that whole scene of him catching the plane is ridiculous. It's so good. It's so Superman-y. And then like
doesn't put you off blind. And Kevin Spacey, or he whose name we shall no longer speak, is so good as Lex Luthor.
I loved him as Lex Luthor.
Wrong!
Parker Posey was great.
Oh, God.
The whole bit at the end where he's flying through the city, like, Supermaning all over the place, like, saving people and grabbing things and melting the glass with his eyes. Like, there was more Supermaning in that movie than there was in up until Justice League, from what I've come to understand, all of the DCEU combined.
Oh, spoilers, Chris.
Yeah, I heard there's, like, some really great Supermaning at the end of that movie.
I don't know. Well, we may never know.
We may never know. Then, Black Friday may be over, but the holiday shopping madness has only just begun. As a soundtrack to that madness, Matt, Ramo, and myself have decided to share with each other some of our favorite video game shop tunes. Consider it an alternative to the aggressive nonstop onslaught of Christmas music pouring out of every single speaker you encounter everywhere you go this month. Don't miss an all-new episode of the Waveback Podcast, episode 47, Black Friday Shop Music Special.
Not for nothing. If you don't like Christmas music, you're not a good person.
my car is one of those places where the speakers, yeah,
blasted nonstop. Real quick, favorite Christmas song?
Super Mario Sleigh Ride by the 1-Ups. It's genius. It's a crossover. It's a mashup of traditional Christmas music and Super Mario World music.
The it's correct wonderful. Answer is Fairy Tale of New York by the Pope. Finally, Thanksgiving has always been one of my favorite holidays, right?
Absolutely. I know this about you.
You do know this about
me. Out loud.
Again, I hate to generalize, but it's generally lower on drama and extravagant costs than whatever winter solstice holiday you celebrate. And what it lacks in those areas, it makes up for in the food department. What better way to top off the biggest meal of the year than with a slice or 10 of delicious, delicious pie? But which of the dozen options do you choose? Turns out, Geekade's own Karen Randazzo, that's me, has a lot of words to say about pie. Find out where your favorite pie falls. I just had a stroke. I know I did. I couldn't, like, I was reading ahead and it looked like there was like a speck of dust on my TV and it looked like it said fails and it threw me all off. Find out where your favorite falls on the definitive list in Geekade's Top 10 Pies.
You can catch all this great stuff plus tons of other articles, videos, podcasts, pies, and more right now at Geekade.com. All right, we are back and better than ever. Oh boy, man! I just also looked ahead. It's gonna be a while before we're happy about anything on here.
Yeah, especially like even the music in 2016 was fucking shitty. The top three and four were tied. They both are Drake. Work in One Dance. Drake's fucking terrible. I don't even care. Like if you don't like hip hop. Objectively, he's fucking awful. Like, he's just not good. And then number two and number one were Sorry and Love Yourself, both by Justin fucking Bieber.
Ugh.
Like, ugh. How are any of those songs better than Hello from Adele? Hmm. She can actually sing. Like, and Flo Rida is still on this fucking list. Damn it. Oh, that My House song is all right. But, like, God, Drake is at number 24? Drake is at number 20 fucking 9? Justin Bieber's at number 31? Like, what the fuck was wrong with people last year?
I don't know.
Bitches.
Things weren't going too much better on the Wii U at last year either.
They weren't. Drake was at number 41, Chris. There's a lot of Drake on this list.
Well, our first Mario game of 2016 was for Wii U and 3DS, Mario and Sonic at the Rio 2016 Olympic Games.
Mm-hmm. We're about to get another one of those next year.
I'm sure we are. Got Mario, Mini Mario and Friends Amiibo Challenge. Maybe is the one that I played like very briefly because it was free or something.
Stop it.
Do something genuinely interesting with this franchise.
Mm-hmm.
Stop it. Mm. Then we get, this is fairly interesting, just on paper anyway, Minecraft Wii U Edition. And this is interesting because there was a Mario pack for it, and this is a freaking Microsoft game.
Yeah. I mean, it is, but it isn't.
Yeah, it is because they bought it, not, you know, they didn't have anything to do with it.
No.
But still, it's kind of neat that they still let this go on other platforms.
I mean, you're really cutting off a lot of the monetary value if you hold it down to one.
Yeah, because
not a lot of little kids playing the Xbone X.
Yeah, that's the thing. If you made this an Xbox exclusive, I'm pretty sure you'd lose a lot of Minecraft players.
Yeah, you really would.
So, yeah, it's, I'm not a Minecraft guy. I've never gotten into it. I don't mean to disparage it in the least. I'm certain
no,
that
it's
it
great.
Is very good at what it does.
It's great. It's, I can't play it all that much, but every time I do, it's fun. You know, like I have a good time with it and then I put it down for 6 months.
I liked that they did this whole Mario thing in it, and I'm sad that they haven't done more with it. Like, I really wish there'd be a Zelda pack for it.
Right? That'd be cool.
It's very strange that there isn't a Zelda pack for it. It seems to make too much sense.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, then we have, we have Paper Mario Color Splash, which is a very pretty game that a lot of people are really mad about.
I hate the way this game looks.
Really?
I really do. I don't like the fact that they look like color forms on cardboard, because color forms don't go on cardboard. They go on shiny cardboard.
I know, that's take your word for it, because I don't know what you're talking about.
Really? The fucking, like, the little sticker things that we used to get when we were kids? In the 80s, you would get, like, they did a Superman cover where you pull the stickers off and put them on the fucking thing and create your own scene and whatever. Because that's what it looked like. All of those stickers back in the day, they had, like, the white outlines. And all of these characters in this game have these white outlines, but they go on, like, the color palette of the characters versus the color palette of the game is just too different for me. I don't like the way it looks at all. I know that might be a real nitpicky thing for a game I wasn't going to fucking play anyway, but but at least this time I have a fucking reason.
I was really happy with the way this game looked. I feel like this particular style of game, the Paper Mario stuff, works. It looks really nice in HD, and I was very fond of the look. But people are really pissed about this game. Like, I think it was like the people were really pissed about Sticker Star not being Thousand Year Door 2. And then this game kind of took, like, doubled down on what Sticker Star did, from what I've come to understand. Again, I didn't play this.
Okay.
Because there was just so much anger about this game before it came out. And I just kind of steered clear of it. But I always thought it looked neat.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
I can't believe you don't know what fucking color forms are.
I'm sure I'd recognize them if I saw them.
Jesus.
But I mean, you know this about me, Dan. I'm a bad person.
You are a fucking horrible person.
I don't know color forms. God damn it. So yeah, Color Splash. That's a thing. Oh boy, poor Wii U. Just not going too well for you, huh?
No.
Then we have another game we're not going to talk about, Mario Party Star Rush for the Nintendo 3DS. Then we have Super Mario Maker for 3DS. Because, sure, put Super Mario Maker on 3DS. Take out a lot of what makes Mario Maker special. Yeah. They were so preoccupied. They were so worried about whether or not they could. They didn't stop to think if they should.
Was this really that bad? I never played
it. It's not that it's bad. It's just that it's missing most of the online content and, like, the sharing. Like, that's kind of the thing with this game. Is like, it was all about this sharing community of, like, making all these ridiculous levels, and it kind of gimped a lot of that. And I understand that they made this game and they were like, all right, well, now it's on Wii U, but nobody has a Wii U. And even though this is a super successful Wii U game, it could do better. So let's put it on 3DS. And I believe it performed very well. I just don't think this game should have existed on 3DS. I don't know why they did that. It, you know, is what it is.
I don't know. Real quick, just a little inside baseball here. I just shared an image of the Colorform Superman
cover. Are
they poofy? No, they're not poofy. They're
not
flat.
The poofy stickers?
No, they're flat stickers. That image that I just shared, Slack sent me a quick message that said, our workspace has just hit the 10,000 message limit. So I win.
No, you
number,
don't.
The 10,000th message right here. Live on this podcast.
You got the 10,000th message in this particular chat. I've hit the 10,000th message in several other chats already.
We have 10,000 messages in here?
Just in the SAG chat.
What the fuck are we talking about? Jesus Christ. Anyway, you gotta upgrade. Spend some money. Spend some of that Geekade money.
Yeah, I'll spend some of those fat Geekade stacks of money.
That's right.
Now we have Super Mario Run, and... Well, Dan and I actually already talked about this one, didn't we?
We have. And when did
what game did we get into this conversation about? Like, how did we get there?
Mario? I don't know. We weren't even talking about Animal Crossing.
Oh, we were talking about the portable versions of Super Mario Brothers and that stuff. Like, all right, look, Dan doesn't care for it. I think Mario Run is fantastic, and it's well worth $10. Mm-mm. Super Mario Run's great.
Objectively, you're wrong. Sorry.
Yeah, well, objectively...
We all talk about it all the time, about how wrong you are about Super Mario Maker. Like,
You mean right.
Whatever.
You're not even right about what I'm wrong about.
That's right. I'm right about everything. Fuck you. I hit the 10,000th message in the Chris is fucking wrong about Super Mario Run chat that you're not a part of months ago. Months and months ago. It was ridiculous.
Super Mario Run's great.
Fuck this game. Fuck its $10 price tag. Right? It's stupid ass. It offends me. It really does. I don't know why. I have an irrational hatred of that game.
Well, let's not jump back into that one because
Animal Crossing is fun.
We're in the home stretch here. Right. I haven't even downloaded Animal Crossing
really?
Yet. Really? You know why? Because I don't want to lose my life. I don't have a lot of time left, and I got Doom to play. I got Mario Odyssey to play. I'm not getting Animal Crossing.
And you've also got that yet. You've also got the next game on our list.
No, I don't.
Mario Sparts. Jesus, Mario Sparts. I got a fucking root canal. The like next part of my procedure today. My mouth hurts so bad.
Did you get a root canal in your brain?
I'm trying to fucking get through this, but it hurts every word. Every stupid fucking word out of my mouth tonight. It's painful.
Mario Sports Superstars for 3DS.
Yes. And Camelot is awesome.
And they teamed up with Bandai Namco.
But is pretty cool.
I'm looking at reception here. On Wikipedia, it says Mario Sports Superstars received mixed reviews, according to Metacritic. Destructoid called it a lazy experience, one developed solely for the purpose of selling what are basically Mario-branded Topps cards. Wow.
That's awesome.
So, because this had, like, its own set of amiibo cards.
Yeah.
You know what? There's Super Mario horse racing in this, and I heard that was actually kind of hilarious. Like vaguely fun. But yeah, for the most part, all I heard was relatively negative reviews about this. And it's so sad to see what's happened to Mario Sports games.
Yeah. I would be down for a Mario Sports, like a full-fledged horse racing game, though. I fucking love horse racing.
What was that? There was one that came out on 3DS fairly recently that was supposed to be just, like, incredibly addictive. I don't remember what it's called.
It's the problem with gambling, that it's incredibly addictive. It's the fucking really shitty part of it.
I never even tried this. I never even sniffed this game. It's got a really nice looking cover, but
other than that, it's not aggressive enough.
It's not aggressive enough. It's not special in any way, shape, or form. It's just here's a bunch of sports games thrown. Mm-hmm. It's lazy. It just smells. It reeks of laziness.
It is the Marco Rubio the Jeb Bush of Mario Sports games. Very low energy.
Man, what were the games in here? Let's see. Let's look at the official Nintendo site for it. Oh, we've got soccer. Really, you're gonna put soccer in here, and it's not Super Mario Strikers. It's got golf, which looks nice enough. What the hell is this? Oh, this is the horse racing. That is precious. It's got tennis, which I believe I remember hearing that the tennis game in here was as full-featured as the full $60 tennis game they released on Wii U. How sick is that?
That is pretty fucked up.
And baseball is in here as well. Like, it's stop. Just stop. I think they did stop. But yeah, this is sad to me. These used to be very interesting things, and now they're not.
Yeah.
Let's see. We've got Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, which we just talked about Mario Kart 8. This is more Mario Kart 8. It's just, you know, it's the special edition. It's just got Deluxe. All the DLC built in. They did add a handful of new characters, which is cool, and the ability to hold two items, mm-hmm. which was nice. And they even added those cool, like, double blocks from Double Dash that you can get two items at the same time.
That's pretty cool.
So, yeah, it's phenomenal. It's really... Having this game portable is everything you ever wanted Mario Kart 7 to be.
Well, and it's deluxe, so it has lettuce and tomato on it.
That's true, yeah. Not supreme. It doesn't have sour cream on it, but well, no. It is deluxe. Comes with fries. Now this next one here, Mario Plus Rabbids Kingdom Battle on Nintendo Switch. I have not played this game, and I really want to. It's on my Christmas list.
Obviously, I've not played it, not having a Switch, and I don't want to at all. I fucking hate the Rabbids.
Well, you know what? This is what I've heard about this game, because I am relatively indifferent to the Rabbids. I really liked them when they originally came out, and I've sort of fallen out of love with them, mm-hmm. but my fear was that this game was going to bring Mario down to the Rabbids level, and instead, it has elevated the Rabbids, from what I've heard. I've heard really, really great things about this, especially from Dean. Dean did a playthrough this game, and he keeps telling me, like, I need to get it because it was outstanding. It's basically, from what I've come to understand, it is XCOM Lite, which I've never really been able to get into these kinds of strategy games. And from what I've come to understand, again, I have no firsthand experience, this is the game that can kind of bridge that can open that up for me, similar to how Splatoon opened up shooters for me in a way that I'd never really appreciated them before. So I'm genuinely excited to try this game out. Also, Rabbid Donkey Kong looks terrifying. Just terrifying.
He does. He does.
There's something a little odd about the art direction on like the Mario characters, because like Ubisoft did this game.
Right.
Like Nintendo did not develop this at all. And so like all the Mario models are like a little off kilter. Like there's something weird about Mario's face on the cover of this game. I love how like you don't control Mario, like you're controlling some weird Roomba thing.
Yeah, I know.
And everyone's got these weird blasters on their hands, and I'm fascinated by it. It's one of those games, like, you remember when this game leaked and everyone was like, you've got to be kidding me. You've got to be kidding me. This is such a terrible idea. And then it came out and everyone was like, I can't believe I have to say that this game is good, but it is.
Yeah.
And it looks nice, too. It's just cool.
No. I'm not doing it. Not doing it.
I'm not surprised, but I will do it. I hope that I get this game for Christmas because I do genuinely want to try it and see if it sucks me into it. Because I tried it with I tried to give Stardew Valley a chance, and that did not stick with me. And now I'm going to see if this one does. I hope it does.
I don't know. Santa may not bring it to you because, again, as we have clearly established, horrible.
It's true. I'm getting coal.
You're getting poopy in a sneaker.
Mm-hmm. A used sneaker.
That's what we used to tell the girls. Santa will bring you poopy in a sneaker. I don't want poopy. It was hysterical.
All right, we're almost done here. We got Mario & Luigi Superstar Saga plus Bowser's Minions. This is a pretty new game. I haven't had a chance to try it. It's it's a remake of the original Mario & Luigi game on 3DS.
Is it just a straight-up remake?
Well, half of it is. The other half of it is, I think it's the same game or even just a different game entirely, but I think it's the same game from the perspective of Bowser's Minions. Like, you play as like a bunch of Goombas, and then you play it from their perspective, and that's supposed to be really interesting and cool. This is one of those things that I looked at, like, I don't really understand the point of this. Like, the GBA one, I guess, is kind of old, but it also didn't really look like it needed much of a facelift.
Right. Well, especially because the jump is not huge.
Yeah, like if they were bringing this to Switch, that would be something. Yeah. But like, you're still not even bringing this into HD.
Right.
Which, when we're doing remakes and they're still not bringing them into HD, something's just kind of silly here. And I get that the 3DS is the safe bet and they want to keep that system going as long as they can, but
yeah, and that game's going to sell, you know, like it.
Yeah. It's a, let's see, it came out in October, and I'm sure it's doing perfectly well. That's the thing, the original game's from 2003, so it's, you know, it's old enough to get a remake, but I'm looking at, you know, you look at screenshots of the GBA game, and I just don't think it looks... This game wasn't begging to be remade. You know, it's not like there was something tragically wrong with it that's preventing it from living up to its potential. It's just, this was a very strange choice for a game to remake.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, that's pretty much all I have to say about that.
I mean, it's just kind of it's a little weird.
It is a little weird, and I am ready to retire my 3DS. I played through Metroid, I freaking loved it.
Right.
And I mean, I still have it next to my bed in case I don't feel like bringing the Switch upstairs to play Picross before I go to sleep. But I'm just after spending the time that I've spent with Switch, I'm ready to be done.
You're
with
done with
3DS.
It. Yeah.
It's I'm done with the tiny D-pad and the tiny buttons and the tiny everything. I just want to play Switch from now on. And finally, the last game. We've done it. We've reached the end. Super Mario Odyssey. I know you haven't played this because we've been talking about it almost every week.
That's right.
I've
actually beaten it. I beat it the first day.
Already done with it.
Yeah, it was all right.
Nah, this game's a damn masterpiece. It is a contender for my Game of the Year, which we will be having quite the Game of the Year spectacular in, you know, just a couple of weeks. But
yeah, I mean, if anybody listens to this show, you know what our games are.
Yeah, probably.
Puzzle and Dragons for both.
Me is Puzzle and Dragons Mario Edition.
That's right.
Game of the Year.
100%.
Portal 2.
Portal 3. Portal you didn't 3. Play Portal 3? Ah, you fucking sucker.
Yeah, Super Mario Odyssey really took the same approach, I guess, as I love this approach that they've been taking with stuff is, you know, where Zelda, we're just like, all right, what do we like about Zelda? All right, let's just do that.
Right.
And then they did that with Mario Odyssey. Like, all right, well, what's great about Mario 64? All right, let's just do that and do
a lot of that
really well.
And, yeah. And make it really good. Like, bring it up to, you know, modern standards and modern graphics and and just make it play really well.
And I just gotta say, I'm really surprised about New Donk City. You know, that was like that was kind of scary, like in a little respects. Like I wasn't as full on in panic mode as a lot of people were, like, oh my god, it's Sonic 2006 all over again. Like,
yeah, right.
Nintendo's not gonna make that game.
No.
But there's just something a little weird about that, and New Donk City actually turned out to be like the best part of the game so far for me. That place is amazing, and that whole festival was great, and Pauline was great, all the Duck Kong references. Super Mario Odyssey's freaking brilliant, man, and it's so easy to just jump right into and back out of again. Like, I've been playing Doom for a little bit, and then I was like, all right, well, my kid's awake, so Mario Odyssey it is, and yoink, right back into it, and it's great. It's wonderful. It's a freaking masterpiece of a game. And I don't want to say any more about it because I want to talk about the game when we get to our Game of the Year stuff. And obviously, continue talking about it week after week as I play the thing. We did it, Chris.
We did it.
We did it. We talked about every Mario game. Man, that was a lot, huh?
I don't ever... want to see that mustachioed fucker again.
our next retrospective episode is our next one is going to have to be like Kid Icarus.
Our next retrospective is going to be games with balls in. Just fucking never stop.
Join us next week for our John Madden football retrospective.
Where we go through every year of Tiburon's masterpiece.
And explain every difference between every version of every game.
Well, you see, in 2004, they added the hit stick. And whoa, Nelly, what a fucking eye-opener that was.
Stay tuned for our two-hour special episode on the Game Gear version of Madden 95.
Oh, no. No, I'm not doing it. I quit. I quit. I'm done. I'm out.
Seriously, I feel like our next week's episode should be a Kid Icarus retrospective just to give us three games, the end.
We're done. We retroed all over that spective. We're fucking good.
This is our Mr. Gimmick retrospective. Mr. Gimmick came out on NES. It was great, the end. Good night, everybody. The end.
We'll fucking do Wizards and Warriors next or some shit.
Oh my god, Wizards and Warriors is so awesome. Why isn't there a new Wizards and Warriors game? God damn it.
Because Microsoft owns Rare.
Yeah, but does Rare own Wizards and Warriors?
Maybe.
I know they made it, but it wasn't in the Rare Replay at all. And you'd think that Wizards and Warriors would be in there if they flat out owned that property, because the games were all published by Acclaim. I don't know who owns the rights to those games, but Wizards and Warriors is awesome.
All right, January, we'll do that.
January, Wizards and Warriors retrospective. Stay tuned, everybody. Four parts. We'll just talk all. But each episode will be one game. It'll be great.
17 weeks of Wizards and Warriors.
How long can we talk about Wizards and Warriors X Fortress of Fear?
We've already said it. We've already said too much.
We've already said too much. Well, that's it, everybody. That's our show. Join us next week when it'll be December, but we will still be doing the November 10-20-30 because we ran out of November because there's a lot of Mario games. And Dan very wisely told us to stop talking last week.
Yeah, that would have been... That was 2 weeks ago at this point.
That was 2 weeks ago. Jeez, you're right.
Time flies.
Time does fly, and so does Mario when he has a tail. I'm awesome.
Stop it. Stop. Stop the show. You know where to send emails, but you're not going to send them anyway. So whatever.
Hey, that's not true. People send us emails.
Stone Age Gamer in the subject line. My dog.
Dean, do the thing.
My dog just came up to say.
Show notes. For any new listeners, back when Dean was a regular on the show, I wrote this whole spiel at the end of the show because Dean, at the end of the episode, we'd be like, all right, Dean, do the thing. And he'd be like, show notes.
Yep.
Read them.
It was great.
There's emails and stuff, too. The end.
The end.
It just got more and more ridiculous every week. And then I just finally wrote a script and I haven't changed it since.
No.
So
and you read it. Very well every week.
I do? Cool. Let me read it really poorly. Again, once you get in touch with us, Geekade mail, emails, and flavors of social media because they taste like ice cream. You can like us on the Facebook or even MySpace if you think so. And Instagram, Geekade, and YouTubes and Twitches and stuff because you shake around when you have a seizure watching YouTube channels. And video content, Invest Plays, Invest Lord, Deanie plays games on the YouTube. And I think he's on Twitter and he's got a kimono on him and we're at Geekade, _Geekade, because some asshole has at Geekade and doesn't use it and I can't get in touch with him and Twitter won't do anything about it. And me and Dan are on Twitter at Geekade Dan and Geekade Chris, and you can figure out how to spell my name. And I did show notes and I didn't do the show notes yet, but I'm gonna do show notes and it's gonna have Mario stuff in it. And you can download us on iTunes and Stitcher, except not all the podcasts on Stitcher, because something's weird with Stitcher and our website. We're gonna fix it. It's gonna be great. And if you're super nice, you can leave us a review because we like reviews and stuff. And Evan edits the show, and Mark TDK Knight's awesome, and he did a song called Chubby Chubby Chip Chip. And SoundCloud and Bandcamp are websites that exist, and we do show notes, and GK doesn't post things every day, but we try to. The end.
Honestly, I stopped listening after Fotchbook. Fotchbook was hysterical. I got fucking tears rolling a tear. Oh, it's because I've been drinking and I'm tired, but that was really funny. Just fucking paste that in every week from now on. That's the closest. Year 11,
that's perfection.
that is just, we're done here, folks. Thanks a lot. Thanks for listening. Join us next week for episode 1 of the new video game podcast that we have to fucking come up with. Because it's not getting any better than what just happened.
That was it. I've achieved the pinnacle right there. Oh,
my
yay, rambling.
Goodness. Botch a book. Really funny.
Well, that's it, everybody. On behalf of Dan and myself, keep playing games.